Praise God. I'm glad. I'm glad I ain't God. I'm glad I ain't God. Come on now. He knows just how to fix it. Turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. If you have your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Thank you for the offering, the food. Everything been great. We just appreciate everything so much. Got something on my heart here. Try to preach to us if the Lord will help me. This is very familiar territory for the Bible reader. You have heard greater men than me talk to you about this. We'll begin reading in verse 14. These scriptures have been covered. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Paul said, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. Ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Now, you have heard this over and over and over, and I'm probably just going to throw a curve right here. I can say it, be very safe in saying, I will not go the direction the majority of you think I'm going by reading this portion of Scripture. We've talked about holiness. We've covered holiness. Sunday, the Lord let us talk about holiness a little bit. But I want to tell you something. We can talk about all of the externals. And I know you folks don't know me. This is my first time here, and I'm just going to kind of go out on a limb. I want you to understand that you can have the uniform on and still not be holiness. Come on now. Holiness got to be deeper than the length of your hair, sister. Come on, say amen. Gotta be deeper than the length of your sleeves. That's right. Holiness got to start on the inside, work its way through to the outside. You can't rub it hard enough to get it from the outside to the inside. You got to start in here and come push its way out, work its way out. I want to talk to you really what caught my attention here is in verse 16, what Paul said, "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Do you hear what he said? I'll dwell in them. I'll walk in them. I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. I want to read one more portion of Scripture to you. If you'd just give me just a few minutes here, and I'll try to preach if the Lord will help me. Moses talking to the Lord in Exodus chapter 33, verse 12. "And Moses said unto the Lord, Seest thou, unto me, bring up this people. Thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Moses said, Lord, there's going to be one distinction There's going to be one thing that makes us different from everybody else on the planet. It's going to be your presence in our midst. Come on now. Your presence among us is really going to be the dividing line between us and everybody else. Come on now. I want to talk to you, if the Lord will help me. God's been dealing with me about this one word just over and over and over ringing through my mind. I want to talk to us about being radical. Being radical. I heard a quote not too long ago from I suppose she's a Hollywood woman. Some lady named Rosie O'Donnell. I'm not exactly even sure who she is. I heard the quote over the radio. I'm assuming she's somebody has some pull with that Hollywood crowd. And they was interviewing her on one of them radio programs. And they played just a snip of her quote that she recently made. She said, "Fundamental Christianity is just as dangerous to America as fundamental Islam." And, you know, that kind of rubbed me for a little while until I got to thinking about it. And I got to thinking about her America, the America that she's for, the one that she wants to be a part of. Now, I guarantee you, fundamental Christianity is dangerous to her America. Can you say amen? Amen. I want to be a fundamentalist. I want to be radical. I want to be on the winning side, don't you? Now, I've already told you the thing that makes us different from everybody else. It's not necessarily the uniform. We put a lot of emphasis on external things as holiness people. And you won't hear me slander our standard. And if you're here tonight and you live in a little higher than I am, you'll never hear me try to talk you down to my level. That's not the kind of feller I am. I'm glad that when God saved me and He began to sanctify my life, that He put standards inside of me. The more I read the Word of God, the closer I tried to get to God, the more things I had to shuck off. That's how we say it in Carolina. Had to shuck some things off. Amen. Had to put some things on. I had to stop doing certain things, and I had to start doing certain things. There's some places I cannot go. I have no desire to be there. Come on now. There's some places that I refuse to take my children, though I know other holiness people that take theirs there. I did not raise mine to go to them places. Come on now. And so I believe in standards. I believe in external things. But I'm afraid if we're not careful, we'll begin to prop up and we'll begin to lean so heavily on how we look and where we do not go and the places we do not frequent that we'll forget really the distinction that makes us different from everybody else is the presence of God in our midst. Amen. The word radical, Webster said, means departing from the usual, departing from the customary, or to become extreme. Amen. A radical is someone who favors or affects fundamental or revolutionary change in current practices, conditions, or institutions. Amen. I got to thinking about this. We have become reasonable with the world in our generation. Instead of maintaining our radical identity as the bride of Jesus Christ, we've hid behind the stained glass windows, hunkered down up under the steeples across this country, and we've taken on a hold the fort mentality. Amen. One preacher said, "Brother Teague, it's all I can do just to keep them in the house of God." I tried to convince that brother, listen, amen, quit spending all your time just trying to keep a handful of knotheads in the house of God and start being a fisher of men and casting out the net. Come on. Leonard Ravenhill said we've gone from being fishers of men to keepers of aquariums. Come on now. I'd like to be radical, wouldn't you? I'd like this world to see Jesus in me. I'd like this world to see the presence of God in my life. I don't want to hunker down and hide, but I want to stand up and be counted in this generation. I'd like the world to know I'm one of them. Hallelujah. I'm one of them that still believes Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come unto the Father but by Him. Can you say amen? I'm still one of them that believes when you get saved, He will lead you to a life of holiness. Amen. The song the angels are singing tonight is still holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which is and was and is to come. Come on now. I'm telling you, I still believe, amen, that you'll have clean hands and a pure heart if you'll ascend under the heel of the Lord. I'd like the world to understand that I'm not on their side, but there's a dividing line that's been made, and I'm on the Lord's side. Hallelujah. Radical. I get aggravated. I really do. Traveling across the country, and somebody asked me about it last night, and I did a poor job of trying to explain. I guess you got to be careful when you do missionary work, because you can go to the foreign field and you can see people getting saved. And then, you know, the brother got up tonight and he said, I'd like to just see one come in and get saved. Come on now. And it seemed like here in America, the reapers have already gone through the field, and now we're following along behind the reaper. I'm telling you, America's had great seasons of revival when multitudes have been born again. Come on now. And seem like now we're going behind the reapers and getting a little handful here and a little handful there, just gleaning one over here and one over there. And so you got to be careful. Amen. When you see what God is doing around the world, I feel like we've had a season, amen, of revival in America, but I don't want to give up and say we can never have another move of God. I believe God will meet with us. Amen. If we'll come out from among the world. Amen. If we'll quit thinking like them. Amen. If we'll quit conducting business like them. Amen. If we'll quit acting like them. Then God will be our God. He promised, I'll walk in you. I'll dwell in you. I'll be your God. And you'll be my people. But it's going to take somebody that's willing to get radical. Here's where we are. We have settled down in our comfort zone. We got so comfortable. Come on now. The brother was asking me about Tim Hudson. Brother Tim Hudson, been my friend for many years. I preach meetings there at his church in South Carolina. He is my secretary treasurer for the work that we do in Africa. And he's my friend. I'm going to tell you, every time I go to his church, he sings my least favorite song. I let it out there one night. I'm telling you, I like the songs, a lot of them in that red back church hymnal that we sing out of so often. But some of them I don't believe are scripturally and doctrinally sound. And I'll tell you, one of my least favorites in all that book is "Hold the Fort, for I Am Coming." Come on now. Y'all ever heard that? I mean, I'll get my little hanky out and I'll wave the answer back to heaven with all the rest of them. Come on here. But I believe that's part of our problem in this 21st century church in America. We have a hold the fort mentality instead of storm the gates. Come on now. I'm telling you, Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That did not paint a picture in my mind of the church hunkered down, hiding up under the steeple, hunkered down behind the stained glass windows. Oh, we're just a poor band of pilgrims, barely going to make it. Hurry up and come, Lord Jesus. We need you to come and rapture us away. We're all getting ready to fall and falter and fail. Hey, that's the way too many of our people believe it. I didn't see that. You know what I seen? I seen the gates of hell shut up tight, and the church with the battering ram of the gospel pounding on hell's gate, trying to get in and rescue the souls of the perishing. I'm telling you, he said, the gates of hell will not be able to stand against the church. But you and I have to shake loose from our hold the fort mentality and get radical enough to be what God wants us to be. radical. I'm telling you, everybody I read about in this book that really did something for God, they was radical men. Radical people. Radical movement needs a radical leader, don't it? Hey, we got the most radical man that's ever walked on the face of planet Earth leading us. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the God-man, God the Son. I'm telling you, he was so radical. One day a blind man came to him. He spit on the ground, made some mud, and smeared it in that blind man's eyes. That's radical. Come on now. But that man came again seeing. Can you say amen? I'm telling you, he's so radical. When a little woman with an issue of blood pressed her way through the crowd and laid hold of the hem of his garment, Leviticus chapter 13 said she ought to have been stoned. She was just as unclean as a leper. But Jesus was so radical. Amen. He let virtue flow out of his body and healed her of her sickness and her disease. Are you going to help me right here? We've got a radical leader, and he expects his children to be radical. I'm telling you, on the day of Pentecost, it got so radical they were staggering around like drunk men and speaking in other tongues. Amen. But when the day was said and done, and the sun began to go down, 3,000 souls had been added to the kingdom of God. Are you going to help me? It got radical. Peter and John went by the beautiful gate at the hour of prayer. They got so radical they said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And immediately that man got up. Man, you talk about it. Hallelujah. Being radical. It got so radical in Jerusalem that men began to bring their sick folks and line them out, laying them out on the street, hoping that Peter's shadow might fall across him. Come on now. Whoa! Hey, that's radical. Come on now. And here you are and here I am. And we've got so comfortable. Listen, we go weeks on end, never share our faith with anybody. We never talk to anybody about Jesus. We've convinced ourselves. We've soothed our conscience. We've convinced ourselves to believe the extent of our witness in this world is inviting folks to come to church. I'm telling you, you ought to be a walking epistle known and read of all men. You ought to be telling the story. You ought to be compelling men to come in that his house may be full. But you're going to have to shake loose. Get radical. I'll never forget that how radical we had to get, Sister Tig and I, when God brought us to holiness. We didn't know anything about how y'all live. No, we didn't. I was 23 when I got saved. And I tell you, I ain't proud of it. I come from a long line of drunks, punks, and skunks. That's right. My grandpa Tig spent time in the penitentiary for killing his best friend with his pocket knife. You know why he killed him? They was fussing over who could make the most white liquor with the least amount of sugar. He made white liquor. That's how he raised 8 children, by making moonshine in the hills. North Carolina. My grandpa on my mother's side was a bootlegger. Made homemade beer and wine. That's how he made his living. They fought chickens and gambled. That's just how they raked and scraped. Raised a backer. Did everything they could try to make a living. Come on now. Amen. Now, a long line of them. Hey, but God looked down the middle of that mess and he seen me. And he said, I can break a vicious cycle. Come on now. Amen. I can do you better than just turning over a new leaf. I can take out your old stony heart and give you a brand new heart of flesh. One that'll cause you to keep my commandments. You know what he did? He reached down into that muck and that filth and he lifted me up also out of a horrible pit, up out of the miry clay, and he set my feet on a rock and he established my going. But I'm telling you, that's been 21 years ago. From that time until this, amen, we've had to make some radical decisions if we're going to stay on this good highway. I told you the kind of family I'm from. When we got our, when we moved our television out of our house, my family thought we had flipped our lid. We had to stand our ground. Come on now. We didn't get hateful. Come on now. All of our family was lost. We was the only ones saved in the whole crowd. We didn't stomp into their living room when we went over there and pushed the button or tell them, turn that one-eyed devil off. That ain't the approach we took. Come on now. But we decided we ain't going to raise our boys to looking at that thing. They just couldn't understand it. My wife quit cutting her hair. She had one of them poodle dog hairdos. You know what I'm talking about? All them curls right out of a box off a shelf at Walmart. Amen. And God got to dealing with her. She decided, amen, it'd be good if I'd quit cutting my hair, because the Bible said that a woman's long hair is a glory unto her. And she decided to quit leaving her glory on the floor at the beauty parlor. Come on now. And I'm telling you, it was a process. It took months and months and months. And you can imagine, listen, some of you sisters might have went through it. You know the problems that she faced. Amen. The ridicule that came from her family when she started letting all that mess grow out. Come on now. I'm telling you, she didn't keep it trimmed up. She just let it grow. She just quit cutting it. Come on. You're going to help me now, somebody? Amen. We had to make some radical decisions. Hey, but I'm telling you, I've come to this conclusion. If I'm going to be the man of God that God wants me to be, if I'm going to be God's man, I'm going to have to be radical, not just in the church among the children of God, but that world has to see a difference in me and everybody else. How about you? I tell you, I want to bring forth fruit for the kingdom of God. You talk about radical. He said, Hosea, I want you to go marry Gomer, the harlot. That's radical. One of them prophets, I can't remember right off the top of my head. One of y'all brethren, I know if it was Jeremiah or Isaiah, I can't remember. The Lord spoke to him. He put a pot on his head. And he preached with that pot on his head. Another laid down in the road with no clothes on his side for days at a time. Come on now, that's radical. You gonna help me? Radical. That's what it takes to get the attention of the world. But we became so reasonable, hadn't we? We let them talk us out of our convictions so easy. We'd rather get along with them. I'm telling you, amen. Jesus said, marvel not if the world hates you. Amen. It hated me first. And if it hated me, it's bound to hate you. Come on. I'm telling you, we've jihad with the world and hobnobbed and rubbed shoulders with the world so long. We forgot what a New Testament church really ought to look like. God, help us. God, help us. Help us. Lift your hands this way and ask the Lord to help us. I want to be radical, don't you? Hey, before you make up your mind, I better put this disclaimer out there. If you make up your mind, I'm going to be what God wants me to be, then you better buckle down and get ready. Because He's going to start speaking to your heart some things. And He's going to require some things of you that's not popular. I remembered reading about a woman with an alabaster box of ointment. Very precious. It was spikenard, what the Bible said. Very precious. It was worth above 300 pence. She heard where Jesus was. She came and stood behind Him weeping. Eventually, you know the story. She broke the box of ointment and anointed Him from the top of His head down to His feet. She poured that box of ointment. People that looked on began to grumble and complain. Now, she had just offered her very best. But somebody said, why was not this sold and the money given to the poor? Somebody said, why was this waste of the ointment made? What a waste. Come on now. You don't have to do all that. You don't have to go that far. I've had them tell me, don't get too fanatical now. Don't get too far. Don't get extreme. Come on here. I'll never forget when I was pastoring in Lake Placid, Florida. There was a young man that came to us on a Greyhound bus. I pastored his sister and his brother-in-law, and he came from Texas. His life was messed up in shambles. He had just tangled up in all kind of sin. He wanted a new start. So his sister talked him into leaving Texas and coming to Florida. He showed up on a Sunday afternoon on that Greyhound bus. He came to that Sunday night service. He had pointed toe cowboy boots, skin tight Wranglers, and a tank top on. Come on now. I'm telling you, just fresh out of the hog pen. Hey, but I preached and that boy fell in the altar and he got to digging around a rock and finally he hit it. Amen. He gave his life to Christ. Amen. He got up on the firing line and he was one of them kind of fellers. I'm telling you, he just jumped in and took a hold of it. Amen. Just two double arm fools. He got a bulldog grip on God and refused to turn him loose. And he had such zeal, such a desire to do something for the house of God. He's this kind of fella. Every Sunday, it got to the place I'd talk to my wife about it before Sunday service. Every Sunday, what can I do, Pastor? Is there anything you need me to do? They need anything done around church? How can I help you? Come on now, boys. I'm telling you, that's every pastor's dream, I reckon. But I had, after some months of that, I had got to the place, I'm running out of things to give the boy to do. I mean, he was a builder. He done remodeled everything, fixed everything up. I'm telling you, he's got job after job after job. I'm running out of things to tell him to do, but I'll never forget one of them Sundays he come with big tears welled up in his eyes. He said, Brother Tig, I need to talk to you about something. He said, the Lord spoke to my heart, told me to do something, and I need to know what you think about it. I said, what did he tell you to do? Through tears, Brother Scott told me, he said, God told me to go to the hardware and buy me two big pieces of timber and make me a cross and take it uptown and just drag it up and down the sidewalk on my time off. Now, I was a brand new pastor. I hadn't been there long. That's my first, only church I ever pastored. I don't know what you'd have done, but here's what I done. I said, you say the Lord told you to do that? Yes, sir. I feel like God told me to do it. I said, do it with all your heart. Do it with all your heart. Brother Scott went down to the building supply, bought him two big pieces of timber, bolted them together on Saturdays on his time off. And a lot of times in the evening, he'd go to town. There was about a 3-mile stretch of sidewalk down the main street that went around the corner of a big lake. A lot of traffic coming and going. U.S. Highway 27. Brother Scott would load that cross up on that S10 pickup truck. He'd take it to town and he'd get out and he'd drag that cross up and down that 3-mile stretch of highway down that sidewalk. Come on now. I'm telling you, he did it week after week after week. It got to the place, folks in the church was coming to me asking me, what are you going to do about this? I'm telling you, it ruffled some feathers. There were some people in the church that was hoping above all hopes that nobody would ask him where he went to church. Come on now. They're kind of ashamed of what he was doing. Out there trying to obey God. I'm talking about folks that been in the church all their life. Here he is, brand new, just got in months ago, trying to feel after God, trying to obey God. When you make up your mind to obey the Lord, don't expect everybody around you to understand. More often than not, you're going to hear just what that woman with the alabaster box heard. What a waste! You don't have to go that far. Come on now. But if God speaks to you, do it with all your heart. Brother Scott was dragging that cross one day. I'm telling you, that church quit gossiping about him. One Sunday he showed up. He's weeping again. He tells me the story. He said, Brother Teague, you'll never believe. Yesterday I was dragging my cross down the sidewalk. He said, all of a sudden, a woman come to a screeching halt there, pulled over on the side of the road, jumped out of the car. He said, she is a weeping. The lady over on the passenger side was a weeping. And a sobbing, said the driver, jumped out of the car and said, tell her, Tell her, preacher man, why are you out here dragging this cross up and down the highway? He said, when I finally got them settled down enough, they told me the story. The driver of the automobile was a Christian, and for months she had been working on her friend, trying to get her to come to Christ. And she had got to the place where she felt like the Lord did not love her, did not care about her, and had just come out of her mouth, I guess if the Lord would just give me some kind of a sign, I'd know that He cares about me. They come around the curve, and there's Brother Scott dragging that big cross down the side of the road. He said, Brother Teague, I got the leader to Jesus on the side of the highway. You come too late trying to convince me that you should not obey God. It doesn't matter how strange it sounds. Now, don't you misunderstand me. I ain't telling you to go buy your cross and drag it up and down the highway. That'd be foolish. But if God tells you, you better do it with all your heart. Come on now. Don't worry about what anybody thinks. Just nail it together and drag it. Come on now. Cause God's got a plan. God's got a plan. You know what? For some of us, we've drifted so long and we've got so comfortable in our comfort zone. Getting radical would be just as simple as buying us some gospel tracts and handing them out to people we encounter during the day. I'm telling you, that would be radical for some of you. Amen. Getting radical would be just as easy when you hand your credit card or your debit card or your cash to that girl at Walmart. If some of you get radical, you'd look her right in the whites of her eyes and tell her, you know, Jesus loves you and He cares about you. Come on now. For some of you, that'd be so radical. Hey, I'm trying to preach to us. When you're going to shake loose from your comfort zone and get radical for God and let Him walk in you and dwell in you and be your God. Hallelujah. Moses said, for wherein shall it be known that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? I want the Lord with us. Don't you? I do. I want the Lord. Amen. I want the Lord with us. If he's on the boat, He said, we're going to the other side. There ain't a devil in hell big enough to sink the ship. Can you say amen? I'm telling you, He can sleep. He can wake. Ever how you fix it, Lord, it's all right with me. Come on now. But He said, we're going to the other side. I'm telling you, amen. If He's on the boat, it's going to be all right. Radical. That's what's been ringing through my mind today. How about you? Are you reasonable? Have you got so reasonable that you're ineffective in the world? Jesus said in Matthew, the 5th chapter, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, it didn't say savior. It said savor. That means it's saltiness. If the salt has lost its savor, it is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. You know what He's saying? He said, if you allow the world to infiltrate your heart and make you ineffective for the kingdom of God, that same world that drew you and sapped your saltiness away is going to walk right over top of you. I'm telling you, that world don't care nothing about you. That world don't care nothing about the church. Come on now. The church and the world has always been in disagreement with one another. We've never been aligned with each other. Come on here. I'm telling you, the world stands for everything evil. The Bible said all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life are not of the Father, but are of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I want to be radical in my generation, don't you? Amen. Our home church, when we was in the Church of God, we used to, they'd have a vote every couple of years. We're from a dry county, or it was dry. All the time of our salvation, it's been a dry county until about 2 years ago. They finally pushed it through. Big restaurants come in there, you know. And they built their bars and they had everything just setting on go, ready to go. Now we got saloons in our hometown. But years ago, we would be very involved in trying to convince the community to vote no. I hope I can tell this right. Now, this hold the fort mentality, it's got to go. You can make a difference if you'll stand up and be what God wants you to be. Come on here. I'll tell you a story about my friend, Tim Hudson. He pastors in Sumter, South Carolina. If I can get the story right now, y'all can ask him when you see him. But I believe this is the way it went. It's been several years since it happened. But several years ago, there was a liquor by the drink vote to be taking place in their hometown there in Sumter. And there was I think it was the city commissioners, or I'm not exactly sure what their titles were, but they were the ones that's going to assemble together and take the vote. And there was one black woman on that board that was going to have the deciding vote. And Brother Hudson, at that time, he liked politics and political things, and he was trying to be involved in his community and do what he could. That vote's coming up. He'd been praying, asking God for them not to have liquor by the drink. He knows it's a trick of the devil. Crime is going to rise. It's going to steal the hearts of young men and women through that city. I'm telling you, all kind of terrible things are going to happen if they start letting them sell liquor by the drink. Why, he finds out, he does some investigative work, and he finds out the colored lady that's going to have the deciding vote goes to a Baptist church in town. So he calls her bishop and schedules a meeting with him and sits down and talks to the bishop and shows him a more excellent way. Come on now. And lets him in on what one of his upstanding church members is about to do. You know what happened on the voting day? The bishop walked in and all the deacons from the church and sat down. Guess what she voted? She voted no. Come on, say amen. Because Brother Hudson decided to get radical and stand up and break out of the mold. I was at a place not long ago and I heard a fellow preaching about putting God in a box. And I guess my mind works like other preachers. I like to think it does. My mind got to racing. You know, we put an outline together in our mind. And I'm telling you, some of y'all could preach this better than I'm preaching it tonight. I'm sure. Amen. That's what I was doing. My mind was racing. I got to contemplating what it would be to put God in a box. And I come to this conclusion. I can never put God in a box. Amen. The God that sits upon the circle of the earth. The God that stretched out the north over an empty place and hanged the earth on nothing. The God whose heavens are His throne and the earth is His footstool. I can't put Him in a box, but I guarantee you what I can do. I can live in a box myself. I can hinder Him from being what He wants to be through me because of my lack of obedience. My failure to obey Him. Come on now. When's the last time you felt Him working on your heart? Just go up to Him. Just talk to Him about Jesus. When's the last time it got to burning on you? And you couldn't hardly sleep at night. And you fasted. And God just kept burning it on you. Tell Him about my son. I got a feeling it's been a long time for some of us. I'm trying to have revival. Come on now. I'm convinced we got to get radical in this last day. One of our friends, you know him. One of our all-time favorites in our holiness movement. Probably preached as many of our holiness camp meetings as anybody else. Brother Don Rich from out in Oklahoma told the story years ago about him pastoring. I believe he was pastoring in California. And I think if I got it right, he was reading in the newspaper one day and he saw where the homosexuals was going to have an open forum, some kind of meeting. reading at a public library. Y'all remember hearing him tell that story? Brother Rich got radical. You remember what he did? He joined himself to that meeting. He went right down to the library and had his say. Come on now. I'm telling you, you got to preach to him right out of the Word of God, right in the midst of him. You know what most of us would have done? We'd have read that in the newspaper and turned to the next page and we'd have shook our head. We'd said something like, man, what's this world coming to? And that'd have been the end of it. But he got radical. Come on, say amen. How about you? You gonna get radical? You gonna shake off the usual? Shake off the customary? Hey, I've come to this conclusion. I'm tired of going through the motions. I'm tired of spinning my wheels. Come on now. I don't want to get reasonable with this world. I want to be radical. Come on now. Hey, when they see me, I want them to see Jesus. Can you shout amen? I want them to come in contact with the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm telling you, when God speaks to you, if you'll do it, He'll bless you and everybody involved. Stand with me, would you, all over this place. Radical. Radical. Jesus in Matthew 21, we talked about it Sunday. He went into the temple, turned the table of the money changers over, the seats of them that sold doves. Luke 5, not only did a woman with an issue of blood touch him, but he touched a leper, put forth his hand and touched him. Whew. Man, that's radical. Hallelujah. He told a man on the Sabbath, right in the house of God, while the scribes and the Pharisees was watching him, just waiting on him to break the Sabbath law. He saw that fellow with the withered up hand. He said, I believe he said it with a smile on. I don't know. It ain't in the Bible. I'm just kind of reading between the lines. Stretch forth thine hand. And immediately that man stretched forth his hand. Hallelujah. Man, that's radical. That's radical. What are you going to do? You going to continue to be reasonable? I know I got you standing. Brother Norman Morris pastors in Vanceboro, North Carolina. He's one of my friends I preach for about every year. He's a holiness man. And Brother Morris said the Holy Ghost spoke to him, told him, get him a white tent. Set it in the front yard of the church. He lives on a major highway. A lot of traffic between two major cities there in eastern North Carolina. He said, the Lord spoke to me, told me to get that tent, not a great old big tent like you preach under, but just a canopy like you picnic under. He said, get you some workers and dress them in black and white. He said, I put the girls in black skirts and white shirts and the boys in black pants and white shirts. He said, we look like a bunch of Mormons standing out there. He said, the Lord told me to go get some signs made up and stick them down the side of the highway leading up to the church. He said, one of them signs said something like this, troubled, big question mark. Drive on a little further. Need prayer, big question mark. Drive on a little further. We'll pray, no questions asked, exclamation point. He called it his prayer tent. He said they had manned that thing for days, trying to obey the Lord. He said he saw her when she started slowing down way down the highway. She's reading them signs. She's getting slower and slower. And finally she makes a turn into the driveway, the parking lot of the church. She comes to a stop. He sees her clear now. She's weeping. She's sobbing, wiping tears. She gets out, staggers under that tent, and says, I need you and your wife. It just happened to be the day him and his wife was manning the tent. Said, I need y'all to pray for me. Said, we laid hands on her and prayed for her. Led her back to Jesus. Come to find out, her daddy was a backslid holiness preacher, backslid years ago, and took the whole family out. And for years, her life had been in shambles. And she'd been wanting to try to get back to God somehow. There that prayer tent was. Come on now. Radical. Radical. You know what? He's chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. That's right. That day they tore the roof off the house and the crippled man got healed. That crowd left saying, we have seen strange things today. Amen. That's what the world ought to still be saying about the people of God. We've seen strange things. I want him to help us. I want him to work among us. Would you lift your hands and let's offer him a praise here? Hallelujah. Radical. Hallelujah. Help us to be radical, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know what, Brother Selfridge, I travel in the country in places like this. I'm convinced there's young people right here in this service. If you'll let God, he'll make a missionary out of you. He'll make a Sunday school teacher out of you. There's young men right here. He'll make a preacher of the gospel out of you. If you'll just listen to him, obey him, love him with all your heart. I wasn't raised in this, but I'm telling you what, when I got saved, I was so free. So free. I cast off everything. I'm telling you, I can't hardly explain it. It's almost like there was no hindrances for me getting across Jordan and running just as deep into Canaan as I could get. I wanted to get as far away from the border as I could get. I wanted to get lost yonder in Canaan. Come on now. And that's just the way it's been from that time to this for 21 years. Now, how about you? You going to let God speak to you? Help you to be radical? Amen. That sister's going to play something while she's playing. While you bow your heads with me, is there somebody here tonight? You say, Brother T, God's been dealing with me about something. God's been tugging on my heart. I need to obey him. There's something I need to do. The Bible said obedience is better than sacrifice and to hearken than the fat of rams. You can fast and fast and fast, but you can fast all you want to. If you're not going to obey God, it ain't going to do you no good. You can read chapter after chapter after chapter of that Bible, and if you're not going to obey God, it ain't going to do you a lick of good. Oh, is there somebody here God's been dealing with? God's been whispering in my heart, and I'd just like to come to this altar tonight, Brother Teague, just as an act of faith. Like Samuel, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. I hear you talking to me, God. I'm going to put down a memorial right here tonight. I'll be able to look back at this service and say, that's where I drove a stake up. I'm going to move on from here. Is there somebody that needs to come? Why don't you come right now in the name of Jesus? I'm going to tarry right here for just a few minutes before I ask the church to come. Has God been dealing with you about something? You'd like to just acknowledge to him by coming to this altar. I hear you, Lord. I hear you. If you'll help me, I'm going to obey you. If you'll give me what I need, I'm going to obey you. I hear you speaking to me. Is there another? Somebody else. Maybe it's convictions. Maybe it's holiness standards. Maybe it's witnessing to somebody. Maybe it's giving more to your local church. Maybe God's been dealing with you about something he showed you in the Bible. Your flesh has been wrestling with it. But you know God spoke to you. I hear you, Lord. I hear you speaking to me. If you'll give me the grace and the strength, I'm going to obey you. If you'll help me, I'm going to obey you. Is there somebody else that needs to come join these that are already in this altar? Now's the time. Now's the time. Now's the time. I can hear you, Lord, speaking to my heart. I want to obey you.
It always
I want to obey
makes
you.
A difference.
Oh, God.
When Jesus passes by.
Come on, church, let's gather in. Let's
trembles,
pray with these.
The enemy
those that will find you somebody to pray
Jesus
with here.
Comes
let's talk to the Lord about this.
He always shines a ray of light. The darkening clouds must rise. It always makes a difference when Jesus passes by. It always makes a difference when Jesus passes by. The devil trembles, the enemy flees when Jesus comes on the scene. He always shines a ray of light. The darkening clouds must rise. It always makes a difference when Jesus passes by. Brought the blind to Jesus' side. Touch me now, I pray. He led him down out of town and touched his eyes that day. Said, I see men as trees are walking. So Jesus touched him once again, and the blind man received his sight when Jesus passed by him. And it always makes a difference when Jesus passes by. The devil trembles, the enemy flees when Jesus comes on the scene. He always shines a ray of light. The darkening clouds must rise. It always makes a difference when Jesus passes by. Put him in the tomb that day. Lazarus was his name. His love once wept, for death had crept into their lives with pain. Oh, but someone sent a message, and when Jesus did arrive, even death could have no power when Jesus passes by. And it always makes a difference when Jesus passes by. The devil trembles, the enemy flees when Jesus comes on the scene. Oh, he always shines a ray of light. The darkening clouds must rise. He always makes a difference when Jesus passes by. Oh, it always makes a difference when Jesus passes by. The devil trembles, the enemy flees when Jesus comes on the scene. Oh, he always shines a ray of light. The darkening clouds must rise. It always makes a difference when Jesus passes by. They put him in the tomb that day. Lazarus was his name. His loved ones wept, for death had crept into their lives with pain. Oh, but someone sent a message, and when Jesus did arrive, even death could have no power when Jesus passes by. And it always makes a difference when Jesus passes by. The devil trembles, the enemy flees when Jesus comes on the scene. And he always shines a ray of light. The darkening clouds must rise. It always makes a difference when Jesus passes by. They brought the blind to Jesus' side. Touch me now, I pray. So Jesus led him down out of town, and he touched his eyes that day. He said, I see men as trees are walking. So Jesus touched him once again, and the blind man received his sight when Jesus touches him. And it always makes a difference when Jesus passes by. The devil trembles, the enemy flees when Jesus comes on the scene. Oh, he always shines a ray of light. The darkening clouds must rise. It always makes a difference when Jesus passes.
Lord, I want to be what you want me to be. Lord, I want to do the things you want me to do. Lord, I want to stay in the center of thy will. With them in the lowest valley,
I can climb the highest hill.
Lord, I want to be what you want me to be.
Want to do the things you want me to do. Lord, I want to stay in the center of thy will. When I'm in the lowest valley, I can climb the highest hill.
Lord, I don't want to do one thing on my own. Put me where you want me, Lord, where I belong. Give me the strength, Lord, to do thy perfect will. In the lowest valley, I can climb the highest hill. Lord, I want to be what you want me to be. Lord, I want to do the things you want me to do. This world gets more wicked every day. People's hearts are growing cold, forgotten how to pray. But if I live to be 100, keep holding to your hand till you come and take me home to that promised land. Lord, I want to be what you want me to be. Yes, I do, Lord. Lord, I want to do the things you want me to do. Is that what you want to do? Lord, I don't want to do a thing on my own. Put me where you want me, Lord, where I belong. Give me the strength, Lord, to do thy perfect will. So when I'm in the Lord's valley, I can climb the highest hill. Lord, I want to be what you want me to be. Things you want me to do. Lord, I want to stay in the city of the real. Do you really mean it? Listen, listen. Lord, I don't want to do a thing on my own. Put me where you want me, Lord. That's where I belong. Strength, Lord, to do thy perfect will. So when I'm in the Lord's valley, I can climb the highest hill. And Lord, I want to be what you want me to be. Oh, yes, I do.
Lord, I want to be what you want me to be.
Lord, I want to stay in the center of the wheel. This world gets more wicked every day. People's hearts are growing cold, forgotten how to pray. But if I live to be 100, I'll keep a holding to his hand till he comes and take me home to that promised land.
Oh, Lord, I want to be what you want me to be. Thank you, want me to do. Lord, I want to stay in the center of the wheel.
Oh, could when you worship me
tonight? I can't climb the high
seas. Lord, I want to be what you want me to be.
Lord, I want to do the things you want me to do.
Lord, I don't want to do a thing on my own. Put me where you want me, Lord. That's where I belong. Give me that strength, Lord, to do thy perfect will. And when I'm in that Lord's valley, I can climb that highest hill.
Lord, I want to be what you want me to be.
I'd like to do it. That song said, so when I'm in the lowest valley, you'll go there. You'll go there. I can still climb that highest hill. Amen. When you know God spoke to you, and you know it's just what God wants you to do, amen, you can do it, can't you, by God's help. I thought when Brother Tigg was preaching so well about my friend, Brother Reed Nicholson, and I just appreciate God letting him be a part of my life. But down there
I love to go down and preach a meeting for him and get to just spend some time with him. Brother Reed was talking along those lines that Brother Tig was talking about them having a vote about alcohol and all that. And Brother Reed's a bold man. And he said he went to one of the meetings. He said he couldn't hardly get anyone to go with him. He said he got over there and they pushed it, and they pushed it, and they pushed it. And he said, finally, he said, they let me have my say. And he said, they asked Mr. Nicholson, you want to say anything? He said, yes, sir, I do. And you can just picture in your mind, Brother Reed. He said, I got up and he said, this man here, there's three guys, it's the ringleaders of it. He said, this guy here, said he's the deacon of the First Baptist Church in such and such town. This man here's a deacon such and such church, and this guy's a deacon such and such church. So then they're pushing this deal, so I wouldn't even let them be a member in my church. And he stood his ground. Probably ain't nobody else here. But Brother Tiggs preached to me again tonight. Amen. I love it. This is what we need for revival. It's what I need. Don't tell me how good I am. Don't rock me in any more comfort. Amen. But shake me out of this stupor that I'm in. Let me see that from that mirror, let me see me. Amen. There's a guy, a lot of you've heard him. I've made mention to him, reference to him. I don't know him. I don't agree with his doctrine. But there's a guy on that Somerset radio station. He's over it, David Carr. There's one thing I can say for that Baptist man. He jumps right in the middle of everything going on. Amen. The cost, the reputation, it don't matter. And they go and stand and rally and fight against, whether it's Ten Commandments being taken down, liquor being voted in. Amen. Every time there's something going on, he'll dedicate his whole radio station, not just a program, the whole station, to them causes. Amen. I need to do better. I need to do better. Brother Larry, testify, if you will, before we go. Yes, sir.
We need preachers in this last day that will preach with power.
Right.
That's what gets the job done, is the power of God. I appreciate you all, Pastor, and everything, the kindship, the whole church here. God bless.
Amen. All right. Anybody else before we go? Anything else?
Took his Bible out there and started preaching. son looked at her and said, "Ma'am, what about you? Do you want to hear preaching?" And she, he said, with tears running down her paper, he said, she said, "Why do you think I've been driving around and around and around for?" Said, "I've been listening." And he said, "Would you like to get saved?" And Brother Rodney, they prayed her through.
My.
3 weeks later, Sister Pam, she got killed in a car accident. Well, I'd like to be right
here. Amen.
I'd like to be right
Come
here.
Come on.
I got brothers and sisters going to hell. If I don't get radical, I'm afraid that we'll be lost.
Oh, God. Come on, Brother. Come on. Come on.
Almost 40 years.
Come on.
I'm praying for them.
That's what we're in it for, isn't it? That's what we're in it for. You know what thrills my heart? When I send them tapes out to my mama, and she listens to them, and she listens to them, and she listens to them. That's the reason, that burden. I want it to touch them. Amen. I don't want to hand select, just try to find something to, you know, not offend, or I don't want to purposely, Brother Tig, send something to just shoot at them. But the gospel, I believe it's right. I believe it's right. And it'll touch somebody's heart. Anybody else like to say something before we go? Come on, Brother Johnny.
I was just a fan yesterday, like 32 days, I mean 32 years I've been saved. Back in 87, May the 24th of July, I preached my first message.
Thank God.
I'm glad God, I'm glad he's keeping power.
Come on.
I'm glad he keeps us.
Come on, Brother Johnny.
Save us and throw us away.
No.
Save us and keep us.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Come on, Brother John.
I'm glad it got a hold of me.
Come on.
I'm glad it never let go.
Come on, Brother John.
If it let go, it'll be me. Let go. But I'm glad.
Come on.
And I know him. Yeah, and he knows me.
Come on.
Glory to God. I said, I'm glad I know him. I'm glad he knows me. And we're on speaking terms.
Yes, sir.
Thank God. He's my Lord. He's my God. He's my Savior.
Come on. Come on.
For nothing. I'm like Abraham, the man with the vineyard. It ain't for sale. I'm not for sale. Amen. I'm glad I'm on the rock. Hello, shalalalalalalo. That's real. It's real. It's Holy Ghost blessing. It's real. We'll be right back.
2 years ago, I told Brother Rodney and them, some of them knows that I preached over 300 and some times just to my wife in 1 year. Brother Larry, she'd be so tired sometimes. I'd lay her in the bed, and I'd get to the foot of the bed, and I'd read scriptures, and I'd preach with everything within me. There's a lot at stake. If it takes getting radical, I'm willing to get radical. You hear what I'm saying? Praise God. You look at us and tell we're too fat. We ain't pushing enough back. But I'm telling you, that was every day, Brother Larry. Very few days I missed preaching to my wife. I worked every day. I preached to her every day. I wanted God to move, and I still want God to move. And I'm looking. And I'm waiting. Pray God for a move of God. I'm glad of God, aren't you? Call me crazy, you call me whatever you want to. Pray God, but I'm willing to do whatever it takes. I'm willing to do whatever it takes. And I know it's a big statement. And I know God will put you to the task sometimes. But pray God, there's a lot at stake. My people are dying lost. My wife's people are dying lost. Pray God, they're more faithful than the devil to the house of God. You got to get a hold of something. Get a hold of it. I tell you, the preacher, he preached good. He done good. Pray God. Preach right to me. Pray God. Hey, if he's good enough to save us, we ought to be good enough to do for him what he wants us to do. Yes, sir. Hey, yeah. I prayed the same prayer. I told Sister Pam, I can take you right to the tree on the side of the mountain where I prayed at. Prayed to God 32 years ago yesterday. And I told the Lord, I said, pray God, I'll do whatever it takes if you'll save me. I remember the prayer. Pray God. I didn't know how to pray that good, but I was praying to a God that knows how to save. But I was praying to a God that knows how to save, knows how to heal, knows how to sanctify, still baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He's still God.
Somebody else want to obey the Lord? Somebody else want to obey the Lord?
Brother Ronnie, I was just thinking on the job the other day. Just about being saved. I sure didn't deserve it. But like Brother Johnny Jones.